For 5,000 years, civilizations that span the globe, from the Egyptians to the Romans, the Chinese dynasties to the Aztecs, all converged on the same yellow metal. Gold. And why? Was it magic? Was there some divine decree from the gods? No, it actually happened for the same reason that everyone you know has an Apple or an Android phone in their pocket. It was brutal free market competition for the best tool for the job. And in this case, the job was how to store value across time. You see, Karl Menger, the Austrian economist, figured this out in the 1870s. Money, he said, is simply the most saleable good, the thing that's easiest to trade for other things. Gold became money, not because some king stamped his face and said, "This is valuable." Gold became money because when people had a choice, when they could use anything, they chose gold. Cattle dies. Grain rots. Copper is abundant. And although silver is better, it's still too inflatable. No, gold won, and it won for very specific physical reasons. Menger talked about saleability across three different dimensions. Think of it like this. For something to be good money, it needs to pass all of these tests. Can you break it into smaller pieces and reassemble it without losing value? Can you carry significant wealth in your pocket? And can it carry value into the future? Well, first, gold can for sure be broken into smaller pieces and reassembled without losing value. Melt a gold bar into coins, then fuse those coins back into a bar, same value, same gold. Try that with diamonds. You cut a diamond, it loses value. Try that with cattle. Well, you can't exactly reassemble a cow after you butcher it, can you? No, gold passes this test with flying colors. What about carrying significant wealth in your pocket? Gold's density is insane. A single gold bar, the size of a smartphone, can be worth $50,000 or more. You can literally carry your life savings in a backpack. Now compare that to, say, real estate. You can't exactly fold up your house and move it. Or even silver is just way bulkier for the same value. Gold passes the second test. Now this is the big one. Can it survive the test of time? Gold is chemically inert, meaning it doesn't rust, it doesn't rot, it doesn't decay. It doesn't even corrode when buried way underground for thousands of years. And get this, almost every ounce of gold ever mined going back into the pharaohs still exists today. It's been melted down, recast, turned into jewelry, put into computer chips, but it's all still here. Gold is nature's ledger. And unlike paper records that burn, or digital records that need constant maintenance, gold just sits there, forever, consistently. That's what's made it the ultimate store of value up to this point. And here's where it gets really interesting, and this is the insight that Seyfeddin Amos nailed in the Bitcoin Standard. Gold isn't just durable and portable, gold is hard. And I don't just mean a physically tough material. I mean it's resistant to supply inflation, which brings up an important concept called the stock-to-flow ratio. This measures how much of something exists, the stock, versus how much new supply gets added each year, the flow. Take copper, for example. If the price of copper doubles tomorrow, what happens? Well, people would capitalize and try to make a profit on that price increase. Miners ramp up production. They dig faster, they open new mines. Within a year or two, the market is flooded with copper and the prices crash. And anyone who was saving in copper just got wrecked. Copper has a low stock-to-flow ratio, meaning it's easy to make more. Now look at gold. Even if gold goes to 10K per ounce tomorrow, miners can't just double production. Why? Because gold is rare. It's buried deep in the earth, it's hard to extract, it's energy intensive. It's slow. The annual new supply of gold is only about 1-2% of the total stock that exists. That means that if every miner on Earth worked overtime, they could barely budge the total supply. Gold has a high stock-to-flow ratio. It's hard to make more. So historically, this protected people's savings when they saved in gold. They knew that some bureaucrat couldn't just print more of it to fund a war or bail out a bank. The laws of physics itself protected them. And that's what makes gold hard money. When your money holds value, when it's hard, you're incentivized to save for the future. Economists call this low time preference. You can delay gratification. You can think long term. You can build things that outlast you. When societies used gold as money, they built cathedrals that took 200 years to complete. They invested in infrastructure. They started businesses that were meant to last generations. Why? Because their savings weren't melting in their hands. Now contrast that with fiat money, money that loses 2-5-10% of its value every year through inflation. What happens? High time preference. Spend now because tomorrow your money will be worth less or just worthless. Don't save, don't plan, just consume. You see, civilization is built on capital accumulation, savings, investment, long-term thinking, and capital accumulation is built on sound money. Gold wasn't just a shiny rock people liked. Gold and the natural consensus that formed around it was the technology that allowed humans to coordinate across time, to trust that the value they created today would still be there tomorrow, next year, next century. That's what hard money does. It aligns incentives toward the future. Gold wasn't chosen because it was pretty, though it is. It wasn't chosen because kings liked it, though they did. Gold was chosen because it was the best mechanism for sovereignty that existed. It required no counterparty, no bank, no government, no trust at all. It's an honest ledger kept by the laws of physics, not the whims of politicians. And for 5,000 years, gold served as the base layer of the global economy. Because it was the one thing nobody could fake. You couldn't print more gold. You couldn't decree gold into existence. You had to dig it out of the ground 1 ounce at a time with energy and effort. That's what made it incorruptible and hard money. And here's the lesson gold taught us, a lesson that echoes into the digital age. For money to remain sound, it must be costly to produce, impossible to counterfeit, and immune to the whims of rulers. Gold was the best analog technology for that job, but now we have something better. It's Bitcoin. But that's a topic for a later video. Tune in next time as we explore how, despite all of these great properties of gold, it still ultimately failed, and how fiat money conquered the world. I'm not afraid of the dark.